fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone.
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I've been watching pretty closely how the enemy plays the game, how the left plays the game. There are only two teams. Listen to the show regularly. You know, we talk about that all the time. Seed of the serpent, devil's team. Seed of the woman, the Lord's team. It's only two teams. No demilitarized zone. You can't be halfway into one world and halfway into the other world. As somebody said, you can't ride the fence because the devil owns the fence. Eventually, if you're on the fence, you're going to get knocked off of it. At some point, you will. And the struggle that we're having right now is we haven't really awakened to that, to exactly what's going on. And in fact, the most trustworthy organizations that we have in America, probably around the world, but certainly in America, we're now finding aren't trustworthy. You know, we all used to take great glory, not glory, but pride in sending our kids to our local public schools. And now our eyes are being opened to what's really going on in those public schools. And they disguise it with good football teams and good bands and choir productions, play productions. But behind the scenes, there's a lot of nefarious stuff going on because the scripture tells us that an evil tree cannot give forth good fruit. It doesn't say that it won't. It says it can't. It's impossible for an evil tree. The American public school system is an evil tree. Maybe it wasn't at the beginning. Like everything else, everything starts out good. But it has become an extremely evil tree that is impacting everybody. An evil tree cannot give good fruit. And the left got really, really good at seizing the education of our children. And we've been silently watching as American morality has faded. And it's faded because why? It's an evil tree. Public schools cannot remove the name of God, cannot remove Jesus Christ from the education of our children and expect them to be moral. Can't work, folks.
Amen.
There's no morality outside of faith, of the morality of the Bible that will be able to hold us together. As I think it was John Adams or Sam Adams, one of them said the Bible was made for moral and religious people. It is purely inadequate for the governance of any other. We see it, don't we? My body, my choice, everything's about me, my, all of it. It's because it's impacted Christianity, because Christianity has been infiltrated.
Amen.
As I said yesterday, maybe I didn't say it publicly. Spencer, see if you can do this real quickly. This is a curveball. Pull up enemies in the church. We did that yesterday, but I think it was in the after show that I made the enemies in the church. And I came across this. It's a video that was a documentary, actually, that was just made. And it cost me $12.95 to watch it. It's 2 hours and 15 minutes. And I thought, I'm going to take a chance on it. Even if I don't take a chance on it, it'll be a good offering for them. So I bought my $12, paid my $12.50 and downloaded Enemies Within the Church. I watched it the other night and it's spot on. Shows us exactly what's happening, where we are. And that's how free speech in America, we all have free speech. I would suggest, really, folks, it's worth it. $12, it's worth it. Not only that, support the guys who took the time to put it together. I would encourage you, all of you to do it. But at the heart of all of our problems is morality. It's at the heart of it. And one thing that really struck me yesterday, as I was watching some of the Kyle Rittenhouse trial and watched the blatant lying that took place in that courthouse, it's reprehensible, friends. It's reprehensible. First of all, we elect, what do they call them? Prosecuting attorneys to do justice, not to win cases. And see, at the end of the day, the prosecuting attorney wants to be able to tell everybody when he was up for re-election how many men they put behind bars, how many cases they won. And meanwhile, Hillary and all those folks are walking free. Hillary and Obama and Biden, they're at the top of the government telling the rest of us, right, arresting the rest of us. And it all stems back to the problem that we have no moral standard anymore. And I was particularly struck about this and kind of where I want to jump off this morning, although it's certainly not where I want to finish up. The whole idea of slander. Slander. We don't even really talk about that anymore. I think I put that in one of the links, didn't I, Spence? Slander. And ask yourself this, my friends. How often do we see this? Look at the slander that's taken place in the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. They called him a white supremacist. What'd they call him? A terrorist, a vigilante, all of it. Slander. Slander. Public slander for media is totally and completely out of hand. And somewhere along the line, we have to be able to try to rein that back in, that you don't get to say whatever you want to about a person just because you call yourself a news outlet.
Amen.
But they say the First Amendment, you know. Well, so anyway, slander. See how many of us engage in this regularly? I'm talking to me. I try not to do it, to be honest with you. It's a false tale or report maliciously uttered. A false tale or report maliciously uttered. It could be a false opinion or report maliciously uttered, intending to injure the reputation of another by lessening him in the esteem of his fellow citizens. That's pretty concise, isn't it? It's you utter an opinion about somebody publicly, or maybe it's not publicly, but maybe it's what they call gossip. And you will forever damage the reputation of somebody. Because how do you defend yourself against something you never heard was said about you? So that's where Kyle Rittenhouse is, isn't it? The President of the United States called him a white supremacist. President of the United States called Kyle Rittenhouse a white supremacist. Now, that's happening because why? The seed of the serpent. The seed of the serpent is in charge of just about everywhere you look. He's in charge, folks. We can fool ourselves and say the Lord's in control. No, he isn't. I mean, he is. Ultimately, he's in control. But if you think the Lord's in control of the American government, stop it. I understand he's in ultimate control. I understand that. But if you think that the will of the Lord Jesus Christ is being followed in the American government, you just fell off a turnip truck.
Amen.
There's no way that God's will is being done. No way that God's will is being done. No way that it's being done. Now, why is his will not being done? Well, it's being done for a lot of different reasons, and I don't want to fight up and down that path, but it's happening because those of us who are his representatives, the Bible calls us his ambassadors, we're not engaged. And not only we're not engaged, we're being told by our churches we're not supposed to be engaged. In fact, the world has become the salt of the church. The church has become so worldly and the world so churchy, you can't even tell the difference between the two anymore. He's a God of righteousness. He's a God of justice. He's a God of mercy. He has so many different characteristics. He is perfect in every one of his characteristics. And he said, what? Be ye perfect as I am perfect. Well, we know that we can't be perfect, or maybe we can, or he wouldn't have said it. But he said, be ye perfect as I am perfect. Merely, how about doing this? How about just teaching and following my precepts? How about just doing that? If you do that, you will be on the road to perfection. But we're not. We're not. Because why? Because we compromise. We're full of compromise. We don't believe in the power of God. We don't believe in the power of truth. Oh, yes, we do in our houses and when we go to church. But we don't really. We really don't. We don't understand that the name of Almighty God is being slandered in our midst. There's not one of us gives a hoot in hell about it.
Amen, Coach. Amen.
And I don't know the answer to it. But it's time for those of us who carry the name of Christ to quit being ashamed of it, to quit trying to please everybody and be on everybody's Christmas card list. I said a number of times, at my funeral, there's going to be a line of people crying and a line of people peeing on me. That's okay by me. It's okay by me. Why do we want to live in the murky muck of nothingness? No opinion. It baffles me. So we see what's going on in the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. It's a public lynching of, I'll say it again, it's a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant Trump supporter. They're going to do whatever they can do to get rid of him. And you know what they're really mad about, folks? You know what they're really mad about? They're really mad that this 17-year-old boy showed up with a gun. But that's not what they're really mad about. They're mad that this 17-year-old white Anglo-Saxon Protestant Trump supporter showed up with an AR-15 and didn't murder everybody in sight. They're mad because he showed up with an AR-15 and used it responsibly. And they're constantly saying what? Why does anybody need an AR-15? Well, we just saw it, didn't we? We just saw it. And they would have loved it. They'd have loved nothing better. The left, Luciferian, God-hating left, would love nothing better than for Kyle Rittenhouse just to start firing away and just mowing people down. That would have been exactly what they wanted. But you know what they didn't want? You know what they didn't like? You know what they hated? As was a responsible white Anglo-Saxon Protestant conservative Trump supporter who used the gun only when necessary. Oh, don't think I'm lying to you, folks. Oh, don't think I'm lying to you, because that's at the heart of it, see. Because they want us to believe that it's guns that kill people. When we say, no, it's hearts that kill people. Kyle Richardson could have killed hundreds. Now, he didn't have that many shells. He could have killed 20, 30. He could have shot however many. He didn't. He showed restraint. He showed self-defense. He showed exactly why he had to have that gun on him that night. If he didn't have that gun on him, he was a dead man. And he brought the gun for what purpose? Self-defense. And he used the gun for what purpose? Self-defense. And they hate it. And so they hate it because there is no truth in them, nor is there any truth in their team. They continuously lie and slander him before our very eyes. That's how the left operates, folks. If there was a real truth meter, if there was really, what do they call those guys on Facebook? Fact finders or whatever they call them. If they really had fact finders in our media, we wouldn't be in the mess that we're in right now. The media is allowed to blatantly lie. Blatantly lie. They lie. Did you know, folks, that not a majority, but many, many Americans thought Kyle Rittenhouse had shot black guys. Did you guys know that? Did you know that the media called him a white supremacist? And many in America, because of the news reporting, thought Kyle Rittenhouse had shot black men. How does a white supremacist shoot white men? How does that work? So you say, Coach, well, why are you saying that? Because I think these things are important. I think there are things that are going on behind the scenes that we don't really understand. I want to connect a couple dots for you here. Here you can. I want you to do a couple things, Spencer. Number one, get that video that I just forwarded you. Get that ready. And then I want you to go down to, it's near the bottom where it says New Orleans. New Orleans. Go down there. Because I want to connect a dot to you. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against evil spirits in high places. And that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Friends, we're supposed to be pulling down strongholds. We're not supposed to be compromising with them. We're not supposed to be living under them. We're supposed to be pulling them down. Amen. That's what a Christian man is supposed to do. So I want to connect a dot here that you guys may lie. I don't care if you laugh. In my heart, I know it's true. A federal court upholds decision to halt Biden's federal vaccine mandate after blasting edict as staggeringly overboard. I want to show you something here. It's not about, well, first of all, the federal court said federal mandates are unconstitutional. They said that. The next appeal will be to the Supreme Court of the United States. There is no court other than the Supreme Court higher than this federal court that just ruled this. Mandates, you can't have those mandates. You don't have to follow those mandates. They just ruled it. The only appeal, as I said, is to the Supreme Court of the United States. But the fascinating thing about this to me, scroll down a little bit, Spencer, please. As I was going reading this thing, I went down there. There's the judges. Okay. And then boom, I stopped. Boom! I stopped. I said, wow. That looks familiar. Then I realized, well, that's the same courtroom where Tony Spell went into. That's the exact same courthouse where Tony Spell went. In fact, that's the exact same courthouse that OJ and the boys led a Jericho march around. What? Yeah. The 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans. When we were down there for Tony Spell, OJ and Clay and the boys, Bobby, they grabbed some flags and we did a Jericho march around that thing. Are you sure? Yeah, play it. Play it.
You got to go to the 3-minute mark.
Go to the 3-minute mark. Thanks, Bobby. Bobby had this for us.
Come on, one more time, how great.
Pastor Bill Fulcher singing that for us.
Shine forth as a brilliant light in the midst of this darkness, O God. Father, I pray the anointing to be strong on him. Lord, there is a pattern. Lord, there is a stronghold of evil.
Matt Truella, Alan Keynes. There's a crew right there, folks.
Lord, that has just
praying over Tony Spell.
This nation, my God. But Father, it's times like this. Lord, you do the suddenlies. You do the unexpected, oh God. And right now, we're looking to you. Our eyes are upon you, oh God. And Father, we just pray right now for divine favor to rest upon our brother. Favor with God and favor with men. Father, I pray, Lord, as he opens his mouth, you will fill it with the self-evident truth that they won't be able to resist nor refute, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, we pray, mighty open doors through this courageous stand, Father God.
Open doors!
You would use Pastor Tony to awaken your bride. Father, to awaken the pulpits of America. Yes. Lord, we've been sleeping too long. Yes. The enemy has sowed tares, oh God, and it's choking us to death. Yes. Oh God, in Jesus' name. Yes. Father, arise and let your enemies be scattered.
Amen.
That your son is at your right hand, and he is going to sit there until all his enemies are made his footstool.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, let's do some footstooling today and use our dear brother to do it in the mighty name of Jesus. And the saints said, amen.
Hallelujah. If I
may, so OJ's in the background with his cross getting ready to do the Jericho march.
No more shackles, no more chains, no more masks and no more restraints. No more shackles, no more chains, no more masks and no more restraints. You know why? Because we have not been set
free. Boy, Dale's that prophetic.
The scripture does not say that he has set you free. It says that he has made you free. You can set a dog free. Guess what? He still remains a dog. But when you change it to makes free, you change the nature of that. I'm a new creature in Christ. I have been made
That's prophetic, Dale.
Free in him.
Amen.
Brother Bill, introduce our next speaker.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. We have a...
So I thought we, that's okay. Thank you, Bobby. I thought we had video of the Jericho march. They went out there, and then we did a Jericho march around that courthouse, folks. Unbelievable. So I want to encourage all of you, it would just do what the Lord prompts us to do. If we'll just do what the Lord prompts us to do, we might be surprised what he did, what he will do. And the anointing that was spread at that place on that day is still there. Oh, right wing watch, they're hating this, man. They're hating this morning for sure. We were at that place. We prayed at that place. We declared over that place. We Jericho marched around that place. And the court just said, hey, Biden, go pound sand. Go pound sand. Come on in, Larry.
Yeah, thank you. You know, I just feel led to kind of clear this air here a little bit about God's will. You know, you're talking about the difference between God being in charge and yet running things.
Yeah.
Well, we have to understand that God's desire is so that certain things happen. His desire is that all men should come to him. Okay, but it's not going to happen because Jesus told us it wasn't. So his desire and his will don't always, you know, don't always match up with each other. What his will is that the system he put in place works out. The system he put in place is that those who are obedient to him and on in his family, on his team, they do their thing and they help manifest his kingdom, not only in us inside, but his kingdom. They help manifest his kingdom. And those who are not on his side fight against his kingdom. And he is sufficient. He is complete, you know, he is content with allowing the work of his son on the cross and the work of his children, the work, I said, of his children on the earth today to bring about his desires. He is content to let that work play out to the end. Therefore, the playing out of what's happening in our government is not his desire for what our country should have been, but it's in his will because he's letting his process play out.
It's like I used to tell the boys during the game, keep it close, I'll think of something. Keep it close, the Lord will think of something. Come on in, Dale, then Randy, then Michelle.
Yeah, brother, I just want to say not only once, but twice. That ruling there was the second ruling by the same court slapping down the same vicious mandate. And, brother, now the only way he can even get to the Supreme Court is through Alito. Alito has to run for that to get there. And that, lots of times, those court decisions affect that area that it's over. That decision affects the entire United States.
So, Dale, what you're saying is this case goes for review immediately to Judge Samuel Alito. And if he says we are not going to hear this case, that's it. The mandate's dead.
That's right. Two times, I'm telling you, they scathed Biden two times at the same court within weeks of each other. Yes, if he doesn't accept it, that's it.
Amen. Randy, by the way, Dale, you were very prophetic down there on that song, man. Go ahead. Go ahead, Randy.
Hey, I'm sorry, Coach, real quick.
Yeah, Coach.
I'd rather be prophetic than the most of the church, which is pathetic.
Sir, go ahead, Randy.
Amen, Dale. Coach, this is what I was going to add to this was the very thing you said. That because of our willingness and our obedience to be with Holy Spirit, to be prophetic, that's what makes all the difference, Coach.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
Everybody's got good intentions, good ideas, but when the Holy Spirit moves on just a bunch of little people like us, and then we do it, Coach, that's what changes it all. It's the Holy Spirit, the power of
God. Little people. We ain't little people, Randy. We're children of the King. We're not little people. We have all authority.
No, but right? I know that. But in humility, Coach, it takes humility. Yes. If we're a bunch of arrogant stars, nothing's going to happen. We're going to keep doing what we're doing, and that's the problem.
Amen, Randy. Amen. Appreciate what you did at Hillary's. They laugh about that. Appreciate what we did at the and D.C., appreciate Steve and Mr. Zero's going back again and doing it again. Appreciate what we did at the Serpent Mound. Appreciate what we did. Hey, folks, laugh all you want. Laugh all you want. Come on in. Who'd I say? Michelle's next and Rochelle. Michelle, then Rochelle.
Morning, Coach. Morning, family. Yes, there's nothing like coincidences on the New Orleans thing. And then back to why I raised my hand on the Kyle Rittenhouse thing. Coach, if there was justice in America, that little 17-year-old boy would not even be sitting in that courtroom for
shouldn't
the charges.
Be in court.
In self-defense.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. Come on in, Rochelle.
Just real quick, I wanted to say that the Hebrew word for work is worship. It's the same word.
Amen.
By the way, good morning, team.
Myra. Then Joe Allen.
Good morning, saints. The praise and worship from Pastor Dale was needed, and it was very prophetic because
stills the Avenger. The praise stills the Avenger.
How we're going to be set free. Thank you.
Amen. Reggie, then Kevin. No, I'm
good
sorry.
Morning, everybody.
Go ahead, Reggie, then
ahead.
Joe. I missed you, Joe. Go ahead, Reggie, then Joe.
Sorry, Joe. Coach, when I was there, I can testify that even though the video wasn't up there, because I got the last two rounds on that walk. But when we were in Columbus, or when Tiny Hearts had taken to Columbus, there was a reason for that. And it was the Lord had told me 2 years prior that we need to do these things at the state houses and the capitals and very key point places to take down these strongholds. And there were very few people who showed up. And I thank the Lord for the ones that did, because they helped. And this morning I was reading 1 Maccabees, and it talks about the small little army of Mattathias that took his 5 sons and they fought back. It was a tiny army. The rest of them got slaughtered because they wanted to sit around and pray. And I think about that. I think about that all the time. And we when people say, hey, let's go do a Jericho walk, or let's go walk and take down strongholds, the church has to get up and help.
Yeah. Well, good luck on that one, Reggie. Good luck. By the way, I'm going to plant this seed. We're planning we're in the process of planning a January 6th Defend Liberty event locally all across America. We're not going to go back to Washington, D.C. and play a home game on their turf anymore. All politics is local, and we're working on a plan where you, each one of you right in here, can organize in your own local communities on January 6th, a common coming together. I'm getting goosebumps. A common coming together at our local, wherever a location we decide that we're going to deal with there, and we are going to tear some kingdoms down. Mark it on your calendar. January 6th. We're going to take back January 6th. We're going to take it back. Joe Allen, come on in, and then Kevin.
Coach, I'm trying to pray for a miracle here. This is just something to note, because the Supreme Court does their hearings every 30 days. So December 5th is kind of running out, unless we have emergency requests for a hearing.
Well, Joe, he could say tomorrow, we're not going to hear it. That's right. All it takes.
And that's one that we need to start praying for. And then, the second thing on Kyle Rittenhouse, I have never seen a courtroom in all my years where two factions of lawyers call each other names.
It's amazing. It was amazing.
And then that Democrat prosecutor sitting up there with his finger on a trigger of an AR pistol, a rifle, facing it towards the courtroom.
He should have given it to Alec Baldwin. That's what I think. Come on in, Kevin. Got you, Joe.
Down there, New Orleans, when we were doing that Jericho march, I joined those guys and blew my shofar as we rounded the seventh trip around on every corner of that building. And on the northwest corner, as we finished the march, I blew it 7 times. And as I was blowing that shofar, I just had it was like an electric feeling that something great was going to happen. And I don't remember who was praying, but it wasn't a prayer for destruction of the building. It was a prayer for righteousness and God's spirit to be over the building and over the people that were making decisions in the building. And that's just a manifestation now, I guess, of what we were doing. And it's just another example of, for one little pebble thrown in the pond, thrown in the water, is going to make ripples and waves all across. And it's just
Kevin, just it's, like come on, said, it's just a coincidence. It's just a coincidence. Of all the courtrooms in America, it's just a coincidence that the one we Jericho marched around is the one that heard the case and issued. Kevin, it's just a coincidence. You understand? Because can I tell you why? Because people love, see, they don't like it when we do street ministry. They don't like it. It doesn't look very Christian to them. And they all just want to pray, stay in their prayer closets and pray, right? That's all they want to do. Well, if they want to just pray, they say, Coach, we just have to pray. Coach, we just have to pray about it. Well, hell, get out of church and go pray about it. How about going to your local courthouse and walking around your local courthouse and praying about it? How about it? It's not, so you guys, I'm not you guys. We make excuses for why we won't get involved. I'll pray about it, Coach. And then they don't pray about it. Oh, really? But somebody's got to do something about it, and then they don't do anything about it. They don't even pray in their own house about it. They don't even pray. And if they do say, Lord, tear that school district down, they don't even move forward to do something that the Lord might want to do through them. Faith without works is dead. Fake prayers hiding cowardice. There, I said it. Fake prayers hiding cowardice. Come on in, Kathy, then Clay.
Okay, Coach, I think what they're most upset about is that Kyle, like the couple with the guns that were protecting their house, these people are fighting back. And I think that's what they're most upset about. They want to be the only ones who can wield guns and fight and cause terror. They don't like it when we fight back.
Kathy, that's exactly why, and that's what I said about the AR-15, and exactly why they've closed down Capitol, Washington, D.C., because they want to make sure that you and I don't get a voice. So we're not going to fall into that trap and go play a home game against them in D.C. again. We're going to play a home game, and we're going to win in Newark, Ohio, and in Westerville, Ohio, and in Knox County, Ohio, and in Coshocton, Ohio. And we're going to raise up an army on the same time, on the same day, and we're going to pull some kingdoms down, folks. That's what we're going to do. Why would you want to do that, Coach? Religion and politics don't mix. Yeah, tell that to the devil. Go on, Clay, then Emma.
When we do good works for our Heavenly Father, it makes a difference. I'm telling you, it makes a difference. And when we were there, standing on the top step of the courthouse, security come out. Well, he opened the door, swung it open, and he said, he looked at me, and he said, I need y'all to do something for me. I need you to step down off that top step. And I could tell by the way he was looking at me that he had a good attitude. And so I didn't go against him, and I said, yes, sir, I'll do that for you. And I stepped down to the second step, and then he pointed at me, and he said, we appreciate you being here. And that made a difference, folks. I'm telling you, other people see what we're doing, and it lifts their spirits. And I was watching some videos of us last night, and I just want everybody to know I can't say enough how much I appreciate and love everybody in this team. And I'll take you to my grave loving y'all guys. Thanks for
God bless you, Clay. Why don't we stand up for the righteous when they're fighting? Why don't we stand up? I can call myself guilty. The courthouse ought to be surrounded in Neosha, Wisconsin, with people praying for justice. For justice. Just the Lord loves justice. Emma, if the Lord loves justice, why don't we? We see they use lying and slandering to try to win because they don't care about justice. The end justifies the means to the devil. He doesn't care what he does to get his way. And unfortunately, he works through people, and so does our King work through people. Go ahead, Emma. I'm sorry. No, I'm not.
No, that's all right. Since you guys went down there, I've been praying for Jacques Wiener, Jennifer L. Rod, and even, I can't remember. Camera's afraid. But anyway, I've been praying for those people that they would do the same thing, that they would continue to make good, righteous judgments. And I believe some of my prayer has been answered just by their answering the Fifth Circuit again. Coming out and saying, yeah, Biden can't do that.
Amen. We got to keep it up. We ought to be praying right now. Hear me. We ought to be praying imprecatory psalms against those wicked Supreme Court justices and praying righteous prayers for the ones we think are on our side, or just praying, Lord, expose them, break their teeth, Lord. If Kavanaugh's a plant, break his teeth, Lord, break his teeth. That's how we war. Weapons of our warfare aren't carnal, but they are mighty through God to break in the teeth of the liars. That's my version.
Boom.
Coach Dave version. Amen. Then Jeff, then Reggie, then Randy.
Coach, last couple school board meetings. We had one last night. Last couple ones we've done here in the last week. Basically, I've asked them, you know, I mean, it's you, some of you people, most of you people sit here on these school boards, you believe in God. You go to a church, you say you're a Christian. Why are you letting this nonsense go on in these schools? Well, last night, there's a book that has been brought to the attention at Mount Vernon School. It's something about an Indian, I don't know, but you know. But here's what happened. The superintendent said, well, it does have a good storyline. It does have this, kind of praised it a little bit. He said, but I read the whole book, and there are some things in it. He said, we have pulled the book. And so I told the people, I said, now go after the other 100 books.
That's right.
After they pulled one book, there's 100 more in there. So they pulled one book.
Good. It's a victory. Build on it. Reggie.
Coach, I'm sorry to come back in. There's something I sent you. If you can play it, you're going to go, yeah, that's it. When this movie came out, it's only 1 minute long. And it exactly what they're doing to Kyle. It's a cartoon, but when it came out, I told my kids, because I hate that I narrate movies and say, that's what I've been telling you. And I pick it apart, but it's in there and you're going to, because they tell
me. All right, I'll do it. I'll send it to Spencer. Get it ready. Randy, come on in.
Coach Craig Mickle and I were texting the other day, and he said, Randy, I think that Jericho march around the building of this year is bearing fruit. God is good. Thanks, Brother Dale, for sponsoring it. And Coach, for calling the play. All hands on deck. Steve Deck, that is.
Mm-hmm.
Coach, I wrote something I think is very good, just very, very short. I'm going to read it. When I texted back Craig, I said, Craig, all prophetic events that are truly Holy Spirit inspired will accomplish what God intends. This one was definitely timely. Let us have faith in God's timing when it shall unfold and accomplish his agenda. Larry, his will, Larry. Yes, sir. That march that y'all did around that building was total obedience. Amen, Coach.
And the Lord operates on obedience. Thanks, amen. Randy. Click, go ahead and play Bug's Life. Reggie just sent that to us. It's a minute, 13 seconds. Let's go here. And then Craig, when I come back. Stood up
to me. Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one hand.
Ooh. One hand. Yeah, you're right. It's just one hand.
Yeah, boys, they're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this grain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this? You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back. Does anybody else want to stay?
That's good. Boom, Reggie. That's a good one, man. That's a good. Let's go. Kevin and then Craig. I'm sorry, Kevin, Craig, and Larry. Then give me a minute. I want to switch gears real quick after that. Go ahead.
All right, Coach. So just to show you just how dead and perverted our justice system is in America, think about this. Joseph Rosenbaum, a multiple-time convicted child rapist, was free to walk the streets. If justice was doing its job, he never would have been free to walk the streets in the first place for Kyle Rittenhouse to have to defend himself against. Think about them apples.
Yeah, well, we know it's an injustice system. I'm with you. Craig.
You know, Coach, study the enemy, right? So I found it very astonishing when the Brett Kavanaugh hearings were on, the Archer Palmara was sitting on the Capitol and facing the U.S. Capitol by the mall. And I was like, well, what's the Archer Palmara? Well, when ISIS came in, they destroyed all these historic sites because that's what they like to do. They like to take your history away so they can rewrite it. But anyways, it was the Arch of Baal, where they used to take kids through this archway and sacrifice them. So what they did is the Historical Society made a replica of this because they had the measurements of it, and they made an image of it, and they sent it over there, and they placed it right on the mall during the Brett Kavanaugh hearings. Now, why do you think they did that?
Wow.
Because they knew. And that Arch of Palmar, which is the Arch of Baal, also happened to show up at the G7 summit. And then it made its little tour across the world where world leaders were meeting with each other. Because why? It has a symbolism and a power.
Because, folks, it's supernatural, and we don't understand it. Larry, come on in.
Yeah, I just want to say that I have been a member of Black Lives Matter for a long time, just so I get their emails and I can kind of keep an eye on them. And today they've come out and they have an event going on around the country tomorrow. And they're not even putting out the time and addresses and places of where these events are going to take part until tomorrow. But this event is called the People's Response Act. They've actually written a piece of legislation, and it has to do with the non-carceral paradigm for their communities. And what this means is they've written an act to do away with prisons. And they're going to have all over the country, they're going to have these protests. We're turning protest into policy demands is the way they put it in their email. So somewhere around the country tomorrow, all different kinds of places, we're going to expect to see some Black Lives Matter chicanery. And they're going to start their demand to do away with the prison system in the United States of America through political action.
Yep, Luciferian, folks. If we can't see that, that's Luciferian. I was wondering, they're calling out the National Guard. Get ready for the verdict to come down. You suppose are they worried about a guilty verdict and then all of us are going to riot? Is that what they're worried about, you think? Somehow I don't think, right? Somehow I don't
I
think.
Hope not.
No, it's because so we have lawlessness everywhere we look. So I'm going to shift gears on you here. I just got a few minutes left. I think it's important that somebody say this. Spencer, pull up murder. Hey, friends, our medical board, our hospitals, many of our doctors are guilty of murder.
Amen.
They're guilty of murder, friends. Now, we won't say that because, well, they've got the government behind them, protecting them and all that, right? So I went to legal information that I do this a lot. It's a good website to go to. It's Cornell University, I think. Murder occurs when one human being what does that even mean? Unlawfully. Murder occurs when one human being unlawfully kills another human being. The precise legal definition of murder varies by jurisdiction. Most states distinguish between different degrees of murder. Some other states base their murder laws on a model penal code. You can check all these out. Go on down a little bit, Spencer. At common law, murder was defined as killing another human being with malice aforethought. Malice aforethought is a legal term of art that encompasses the following types of murder. Intent to kill murder, like remdesivir, like blocking people from getting proper treatments. Murder is grievous bodily harm murder, killing someone in an attack intended to cause them grievously bodily harm. Could give them an injection would do that, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be, could that be? For example, if the defendant fatally stabbed the victim, stabbed him with what, like a vaccine? Even the defendant only intended to wound the victim, the defendant would still be liable for murder. Felony murder is killing someone while in the process of committing a felony. In other words, violating their right to say no. 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 Body autonomy. Depraved heart murder. Killing someone in a way that demonstrates a callous disregard for the value of human life. I'm just going to stop right there. And how many of you think that our hospitals are guilty of all four of those? All four of those. But see, what they'll say is they can't find the murder weapon. The murder weapon was the vaccine or the pharmacology or whatever they put in them. And the doctor can't say, I didn't know, because ignorance of the law is no excuse. So if the doctor knows that, if the doctor is going to inject something in you that is deadly, first of all, he should never do it. And secondly, he should never do it without your consent. If he injects a deadly thing into you without your consent, friends, I don't know what you call that. What do you call that? Can the doctor say, well, I didn't know that stuff was in the vaccine? What? You're a doctor injecting people with something and you don't even know what's in it? Well, the FDA approved it. So, what does that have anything to do with you? You're going to put something in somebody. Folks, I'm sorry. That's defined as murder. That's murder. Scroll on down a little bit. These definitions are valuable because they inform subsequent reforms of the American law. It talks about how Pennsylvania did it, what first degree did. Willful, deliberate, premeditated murder. Particularly heinous type of murders. For example, in the original Pennsylvania statute, this is including poisoning and lying in wait to kill someone by ambush. Like when you go into the hospital and they start jabbing you with stuff that's going to kill you. Would you call that an ambush? I'd call it an ambush. Not only is it an ambush, you're not even allowed to bring somebody in to help you defend yourself. Felony murder, but only for certain listed felonies. For example, in the original Pennsylvania statute, the only eligible felonies were arson, rape, and I told you yesterday, what is rape? What is rape? Rape is taking something from you without your consent. That is the definition of rape. Oh, my goodness. This infuriates me under the guise of medicine, friends. Now they're going to murder 5-year-old to 13-year-olds. And pastors are going to stand in the pulpits and tell you it's for the good of everybody. They're accessories to the murder. Spencer, quickly, pull up the Hippocratic Oath. We used to hear it. They said, well, it's not really in effect anymore, Coach. They really don't even say it anymore. Oh, they don't? Hippocratic Oath. I'm not going to read the first paragraph. I'm going to read the second one. I swear by Apollo the physician. Oh, Lord. And Asiphius in Hyglia. It must have been some doctors at Ohio State University. And all the gods and goddesses as my witnesses that according to my ability, my judgment, I will keep this oath and this contract. To hold him who taught me this art equally dear to me as my parents, to be a partner in life with him and to fulfill his needs when required, to look upon his offspring as equals to my own siblings and to teach them this art if they wish to learn it without fear or contract, and that by the set of rules, lectures, and other motives and instructions, I will impart a knowledge of the art to my own sons and those of my teachers, to students bound by the contract and sworn this oath to the law of medicine, but to no others. I will use those dietary regimens, Naomi, which will benefit my patients according to my greatest ability and judgment. And I will do no harm or injustice to them. I will not give a lethal drug to anyone if I'm asked, nor will I advise such a plan. And similarly, I will not give a woman a pessary to cause an abortion. Huh? Life is pretty important back then, wasn't it? So they didn't know how to do abortions? Well, they knew how to do them. They said, you ain't going to do them. Impurity and according to divine law, what? Will I carry out my life and my art? I will not use the knife upon those suffering from stones. I assume kidney stones, gallstones, I don't know. But I will leave this to those who are trained in this craft. Whatever homes I go, I will enter them for the benefit of the sick, avoiding any voluntary act of impropriety or corruption, including the seduction of women or men when they are free men or slaves. I'm not going to go in there and get rich off of them. Whatever I see or hear in the lives of my patients, whether in connection with my professional practice or not, which ought not to be spoken of outside, I will keep secret, as considering all things to be private. So long as I maintain this oath faithfully and without corruption, may it be granted to me to partake of life fully, and practice of my art, gaining the respect of all men of all time. However, should I transgress this oath and violate it, may the opposite be my fate. Now that's a version of the oath translated by this Michael North, 2002. We are so far from the Hippocratic Oath. First, do no harm. Come on in, Naomi.
So I've started calling them the pharmakia pimps because that's all I see. They're pimps pushing something that they know nothing about.
Amen. It's a crime, by the way, Naomi. Folks, you understand it, folks? They can't say the FDA told me to do it. The CDC told me to do it. They're administering it. They are the criminals, friends. U.S. country
girl. They only know as much as what the pharmaceutical rep informs them of. The pharmaceutical rep and the physician's assistants know a whole lot more than any of the MDs.
Yep. Well, Dr. Sherry says they're lazy. They're lazy. They just follow the protocol, and then that way they're protected from liability. USA country girl.
So I had to take my son in for a football physical this year, and the doctor wanted to know, you know, are you vaccinated? And I said, no. She was obviously talking about COVID-19 vaccination. And I said, no. And I gave a little bit of history about personally, medically, why I am not going to do it. And you know, we don't know long-term. And then she wanted to know, well, are you planning on getting your son, who's 13 years old, vaccinated? And I said, no. And she said, oh, well, you know, these kids are going to be in such close contact with each other and, you know, the variants and all this stuff. She's like, I have my two vaccinations and I just can't wait for this booster to come out and all this. And I said, so I started asking her pointed questions. And at first she was just adamant because I asked her about the variants. I said, well, wait a minute now, you know, isn't that how viruses work? You know, they go through immune systems, they mutate, you know, no. I said, what? Because she wanted to impress upon me that the unvaccinated were causing the variants. I said, well, wait a minute. I said, the vaccinated are still getting it. So you mean to tell me that they can't be, the virus can't be passing through their immune systems and also causing the virus to mutate? And no. I said, what? That's not how immune systems work. I mean, I'm not a doctor, so I'm legitimately asking, right? And I kept going at her, and finally she just said, well, you know what? It's a personal decision, and I'm really not here to, you know. She said, but she, in the end, she had to admit, we don't know.
We don't know.
And I thought, are you kidding me? You're sitting here telling me, trying to convince me to give my son this injection, and you're going to go after me and convince all these high school football players that they need this injection on we don't know.
Unbelievable. I believe it, but it's unbelievable, but I believe it. Michelle, then Dale.
Hi, yes, Coach. When you read the murder definition on unlawful, I'm more worried about lawful murders like abortions.
Yes.
And then how many Christians have said this oath? I mean, I know this guy just made this version, but isn't all the pharmakia anyway weird and foreign gods that imparted this knowledge that they have that they want to kill us with anyway?
Yes. The answer is yes. Dale and Jeff.
Amen, brother. They no longer read or stand by the Hippocratic Oath, but the hypocritical oath. That's mm-hmm. what they stand by now. They say one thing and they do another. They don't follow themselves. They don't follow the science. Our pediatric doctor who thought for sure that was going to have to, because she refused to take the jab, was going to lose her job. And then, of course, the stay. She goes, I'm probably still going to lose my job, because she goes, I refuse to give this shot to children, nor recommend it to any children. This guy right here, see, he got one. He got that. That's what happens when you get that shot. You become a brain fart.
You do. Jeff, come on in, then Sandy.
Coach, I think they mentioned last night at school board meeting too about being a place where they are going to distribute the vaccines at the schools.
They're accessories too, Jeff. They're accessories to murder.
But a buddy of mine was telling me the other day, he's got a little, about a 7 or 8 month old daughter. Took her to a pediatrician, or tried to get in because the baby has stuffy head and all this. And he wanted to get her in the pediatrician. You know what they told him? They said, no, don't bring her in here. She's sick. They wouldn't see the baby. So he's calling another one, go get with her dad. He said, first question I'm going to ask her, are you going to see my child? Or are you going to tell me no because she's sick? I can't bring her in. I'm like, oh, my goodness.
Don't want to take her to the doctor if she's sick. That's for sure. Sandra, come in then, John.
Good morning. I think we shouldn't forget about the 30 pieces of silver. These people in the hospitals and the doctors are all getting big bucks off of this.
They sure are. And we know that, right? We know. See, folks, listen, we have no redress of grievances. Has anybody hearing a peep from the Republican, the conservative Republicans? Anybody hearing a peep? Sorry. John, come on in.
Yeah, Coach, that friend of mine that I was telling you about a while back, I literally had to do his funeral this week. His wife passed away 2 or 3 days before him. One was remdesivir. That was his wife. And he was obviously the Pfizer vaccine. And the Licking County Memorial Hospital is claiming both of them were COVID. And so there would be no VAERS report. And this is what we're dealing with.
Yeah, and they'll get $60,000 or something for treating him, John. Tracy.
Hey, good morning, everyone. I don't know if anyone else has heard this, but my husband's grandmother just passed away in the hospital with COVID, and the family is talking about splitting $7,500 that they're going to receive because she died of COVID. So even the families are getting this money.
Unbelievable. It's by the way, folks.
Evil, evil.
I saw a new thing in the obituary. Hey, Spencer, get our calendar up real quick. I saw a new thing in the obituary. Complications from COVID. Complications from COVID. Hey, this weekend, I'm about out of time here. Man, I got a busy week. In fact, we don't have them all up there. I'm going to be in Mulligan's Pub. Somebody said, a pub? What the heck are you doing? This ain't a Christian event, folks. Oh, my goodness. Mulligan's Pub, 7 o'clock, Thursday night. Saturday, where am I? I'm getting all messed up here. Saturday, doing an event at in Polaris in Columbus, Ohio. It starts at noon. It's Jericho Walk or Jericho Drive or something at noon. I'll get Let Freedom. No, that's not it. That's not it. Hang on there. And then it's on the 20th. It's like, I'll get that up. It's not on the website. But those of you in Columbus, come and join with us. There's an event. It's going to be held at Alum Creek Park. And then that night, Let Freedom Ring rally, a banquet at Belmont Country Club. Both John Diamond and I are going to be there. And listen, if you are interested, here's what you got to do. If you're interested in going to the Belmont County Country Club, they need to know you're coming. You are to contact Betty Perkins. Now, Betty, you don't know that, but I talked to Kelly last night, and I said, how about I just have him contact Betty so that we would know, so they know kind of how many people are going to be there. And I don't think it's – I think it's free. I think it's free with some horsey dervies. But if you guys really want to go, don't bother Kelly with a call. If you're in the queue, get a hold of me or get a hold of Betty Perkins, just so we get your name and know that you're coming and all that stuff, right? Friends, listen, we're coming into the Christmas season, and nobody really wants to do much fighting. They want to do ho-hos and ding-dongs and kisses under the mistletoe. We got to begin to really start planning out for January, February. We got to start, folks, the war's upon us. And we, even though we all want to take a Christmas break, we can't take a Christmas break. And all you have to do is look at how effective we have been in what we're doing. And later on this week, I'm going to do a show on those of you who have shows or podcasts or meetings or outreaches that you're doing, because I think hearing from each of you will encourage others to get involved. We are going to win if we will simply get our boots on the ground. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.